So good to have you here with us this morning. Good to see a great crowd. We're thankful for all of you moms out there. But how many of you out there remember the show Gunsmoke? My wife, some of you older folks out, we remember Gunsmoke, right? Now, it started before my time, but it was on, I don't know, 25 years or something. It was on forever, and you young folks may have never heard it, but it was back on in the Stone Ages. Back before the time of streaming, back before the time of DVRs, before the time of VCRs. How many remember VCRs? Right, before you could record. Back then, we had four channels, right? We had the three main channels on over the air, and it was a fuzzy picture. And I lived in the Atlanta area for a while, so we had TBS, and that's where I became a Braves fan. And the shows were shown once a week, and if you missed it, you missed it. You had to hope and pray that they would put it on a rerun in the summer. Well, my mom loved Gunsmoke. But at one point, and I don't remember when because I was just a real little kid, but at one point they moved the show Gunsmoke to Sunday nights, which was a problem for our family because we went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, without question. There has not been a Sunday in my life where I woke up going, should I go to church or not? Because every Sunday morning, you went. My dad made sure we went to church. And our church back then, it wasn't like how we do it today. You know, Sunday night's kind of more of a study life group thing, and then we have a midweek life group for men and women. You really should get involved in those things. They are really amazing. But it was a service Sunday morning, a service, you know, music, singing, all the things Sunday night. And they called Wednesday night prayer service, but it wasn't. There was prayer, but it was still a lot of preaching and a lot of singing. And so it was three services, and you just didn't miss. Well, I can remember one winter, Gunsmoke's on Sunday night, and we had an ice storm. And so we didn't have church on Sunday night. And my mom was so excited because she's going to get to watch Gunsmoke. And we did. Now, I was excited because I was a little kid, and that's also, if you remember, the Disney show came on Sunday nights. And I never got to watch Disney shows. But she's excited, and we're watching Gunsmoke, and it gets to the end of the episode, and those famous three words came up. To be continued. My mom was hopping mad. She was not going to see the end of the story and had to hope and pray for a rerun sometime in the summer that wasn't on a Sunday night. Now, you younger people, you do not have to deal with that kind of torture and torment that we have to deal with. You can watch a show anytime you want. You can binge watch. You can do all that. But the end of this story was important to her. Well, when we get to the end of the story today, we're going to be in Jonah chapter 4. We're not going to get all the answers we want. There's a big old to be continued. And the to be continued is when we get to heaven and we get to talk to Jonah face to face. Assuming that when we get to heaven, we even care about it at that point. So when we get to the end, there's these unanswered questions. And one of the questions that I always have is, did Jonah learn his lesson? When he went through all of this stuff, he went through some amazing, miraculous stuff. But yet at the end, we're left with this doubt that he learned the lesson that God was trying to teach him. But the more important question is not, did Jonah learn his lesson? The important question for us today is, did we learn our lesson? Wise people learn lessons from other people, do they not? Sometimes you learn what not to do from somebody else, and a wise person learns, don't do that, you get shocked, or don't write. And it's also wise to learn what other people did right and did well. And so hopefully we will learn from Jonah as we go into Jonah chapter 4 today. And just as a quick review, as I get my screen pulled up here, as we get into Jonah chapter 4, remember when we met Jonah, God called Jonah, who was a preacher. He was a prophet to the tribes of Israel. And he said, Jonah, I want you to go to a new country. I want you to go to the country of Assyria. And I want you to go to the capital of Assyria, which is Nineveh. It's a very, very large city. It's a very important city. And I want you to go preach to them. And Jonah says, no. And we find out today it's because he hated the people of Nineveh. And yes, they were brutal people. They were awful people. They were wicked people. But God loves them just as much as he loves us. But Jonah didn't want that, so he ran from God. And we talked about how that when you run from God, your life goes down. And he went down to Joppa, and then he went down into the boat. But just because he ran from God and he found himself in a place he didn't want to be, God didn't give up on Jonah, because God is a God of love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. And God sent a storm to get Jonah's attention. But Jonah wasn't interested. And Jonah said, I think I've gone too far. And he was depressed. He says, just throw me overboard. And the sailors threw him overboard and he was drowning. But God had provided a fish for Jonah. Because even though Jonah was running, God still loved Jonah. And he provided this fish. And we talked in week two how that this provision of this fish was from God. And many times what we see as a problem, God is seeing as a provision. That God gives us things and God brings things into our life like the storm and the fish to get us where he wants us to be. But too often we see those things as problems. Excuse me. And we looked at Jonah's prayer in chapter 2. And how eventually he came to his senses. He made a vow to God. And he did prayers of praise to God. Excuse me. And we talked about how that prayers of praise during your problems produce patience. And it is so important to praise God in our prayers. Well, God spoke to the fish. The fish vomited Jonah up onto the beach. And it was messy. And we talked about how that when you come back to God and you come and you've been broken, maybe you've come to God for the first time, you're now finally saved, or maybe you got saved younger in life and you ran from God for a long time and you finally come back to God and you come to God with all your brokenness, you come back and it's messy and it takes time for you to work through the mess. But God, who is there because he's a God of grace and mercy and love and forgiveness, walks with you through the mess. And we talked about how that your past and your messy past is no excuse for not serving God today. Because when God called Jonah the second time, and we talked about the God of second chances, he talked to Jonah and said, now, I want you to get up and I want you to go to preach the same message and have the same mission that I told you before. He didn't say, Jonah, you messed up too much. Go sit on the sidelines until I'm done. He gave him a second chance to serve. Because we serve a God of love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. Amen. And we serve a God of second chances. Amen. And so Jonah went and he preached. And the God of second chances for Jonah reached the people of Nineveh. And there was revival in the land of Nineveh. And Jonah's message was, if you don't repent, God's going to destroy you. But they repented. And so God relented, because God is a God of second chances. And when the people turned back to God and God forgave them and decided not to destroy their city, we were left with this verse in chapter 3 where we're going to find out that Jonah this week had some misplaced priorities. His priorities were out of whack. And it cost him. And so at the end of chapter 3, or what are we doing? There we go. The end of chapter 3, God saw their works, the people of Nineveh, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And then the very next verse says this, but it displeased Jonah, how much? Exceedingly, and he became angry. He went and he preached. A revival broke out and people got saved and the preacher was mad about it. And the reading of those Hebrew words, it wasn't like, oh, he was just a little irritated. It wasn't he was ticked off. No, he was exceedingly angry because God had forgiven them. And in his anger, he prays to God. So he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. The first thing I noticed, when he was angry, he prayed. If you get angry at God, you know what you should do? Pray. If you're frustrated with that other person, you know what you should do? Pray. God can handle your emotions. Take them to God. even in your anger. And what I noticed about, even in his anger, he points out the truth about God, that God is a God of second chances, that God is a God of grace and mercy, love, forgiveness. And he's like, but that's why I didn't want to preach to them, because I didn't want you to do anything good for them. I just want you to do something good for me. Well, therefore now, O Lord, look what he says. Please what? Take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. I cannot imagine preaching, people getting saved, and me being mad about it. But he was in a bad place, was he not? So I find this very interesting. It shows to us that, you know what? It's possible to do the will of God without the heart of God. He preached the message. God moved, but Jonah's heart wasn't in it. Isn't that fascinating? Now, I think that if your heart's not in it, you should still do the will of God. I think doing the will of God without having a heart of God is better than not doing the will of God at all. But really, a much, much better place is to do the will of God with the heart of God. Because what happens, you can do the will of God. You can show up for church on Sunday and find the whole thing boring because your heart is not in it. A lot of Christians come to church not prepared to worship God. You can serve without the heart of God, but eventually the service starts to get tedious, does it not? And then you decide, well, you know, it just isn't working the way I thought it would, because I promise you this, when you step out and you start to serve God, it's not going to work the way you thought it was. You're going to have challenges, and you're going to have struggles, and some people aren't going to like it, and some people aren't going to be happy with the decision you make, and it will sometimes be tough, and when your heart's not in it, the temptation is just to walk away. But you still should serve God. And let's be honest, sometimes you show up and it's like, today is just not a really good day, but I'm going to do, and I'm going to serve, and I'm going to trust God. But what do you do if you're serving? What do you do if your heart really isn't in it? And the Bible has a lot to say about this, and we don't have time to dive into all this, but I want to give you two quick things that we should do real quick. If your heart's not in it, I think the first thing you got to do is you got to get back to focusing on the goodness of God. I love that song that we sing, The Goodness of God. It's one of my favorites. I will sing of the goodness of God. When you start to focus on the goodness of God, the good things that He's done for you, starting with dying on the cross for your sins, to save your eternal soul from hell, that ought to make you rejoice every time you think about it. But you begin to focus back on the goodness of God and how good He's been to you. It begins to change your heart. Kind of like when you were dating. You know, before you spend all the time together, and when you're dating, you put on your best appearance in front, and you're like, oh, she is so cute. And he is so good looking. And oh, I just love her cute little nose. And oh, he's got those great big old biceps. And oh, she looks great. And he's got a full head of hair. And you're just all happy about all that. And then what happened? You get married. And you discover they're not perfect. Well, who would have thought, right? Well, none of us are perfect. We all have faults. And yes, we should work to become better when we're married. We don't give up. But if you're not careful, all of a sudden you begin to focus on the negatives. He never picks up his socks, right? She doesn't know how to put the dishes in the dishwasher right. He snores. She talks in her sleep. What happens? You start focusing on that too much. What happens to the marriage? It starts to fall, doesn't it? You know what a good marriage does? A good marriage forgives, right? Because God forgives us. And a good marriage focuses on the great things. And we talk about how great our wives are, and what a great mom she is, and a great grandma she is. And we focus on the good things. And we learn to forgive the negatives. Too often as Christians, we focus on the negative stuff in our life and we forget about the goodness of God. So if your heart's not in it, I think maybe you need to get back on focusing on the goodness of God and all He's done for you. And of course, the second one, we say this all the time, you got to spend time with God. If you're a Christian and you start to spend time with God, you discover how truly wonderful it is to be in His presence. Jesus said in John 15, in the parable of the vine and the branches, to abide in me, that means spend time with me. You spend time with God through the Bible, through prayer, through serving in the church, and being around other Christians. you'll truly discover a heart for God. So you could serve God without the heart of God, and that's what Jonah was doing. Well, the Lord had a question for Jonah. The Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Now, don't you just hate it when you're upset and you're mad and somebody asks you a question and you know the answer, but you know if you speak the answer out loud, it's going to point to the fact that you know you're guilty and you just don't want to admit you're guilty? Well, that's kind of where Jonah was at this point. He was angry, and God says, really? Do you have a right to be angry? And you know what Jonah did? He did what a lot of us do. He turned his back and walked away. He didn't answer. God says, Jonah, do you really have a right to be angry that I did something good for them? And Jonah knew the answer, but he wasn't willing to admit it. He hadn't learned his lesson. And so what does he do? He went out of the city and sat on the east of the side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. He turned his back and walked away from the revival and went and found a comfortable seat and sat down, made himself some popcorn, and was praying for Sodom and Gomorrah fire and brimstone to rain down. That's what he was doing. He turned his back on a revival and walked away because he was angry. Because God did something good for them. He had some misplaced priorities. And so here's Jonah sitting and comfortable, hoping for something that he knew wasn't going to happen. And the Lord God prepared a plant. He prepared a storm. He prepared a fish. Now he's prepared a plant. God is still moving. God is still working. Even though Jonah's got his priorities out of place and he's mad at God, God is still working in Jonah's life. He prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was what? Very grateful for the plant. He went from being exceedingly angry to wanting to die, and now all of a sudden he's happy. And what changed? His circumstances changed. God did something good for Jonah, and that made him happy. Didn't make him happy when God did something good for the Ninevites. It made him happy when God did something good for him. His circumstances were dictating his emotions. Well, but as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. A storm, a fish, a plant, a worm. God is moving in Jonah's life, trying to teach him some lessons. So God prepares the worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God, what? Prepared a vehement east wind. God continually is preparing and providing things in Jonah's life. Some of them good, some that don't feel good, but are meant for his good. God is still moving in Jonah's life. Even though Jonah seems to get angry at God, God still loves Jonah. Oh, aren't you so glad that God is not like us? That when we're angry at God, his love never fails. Never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Jonah ran from God. Jonah got angry at God. Jonah wanted God to punish the other people that God was loved, and God's love never failed and it never changed. And aren't you glad that God's love never fails for you? I don't care where you are this morning. Maybe you're angry at God today. Maybe you're hurting and you don't understand why God has allowed this to happen. Maybe you're just confused. Maybe you're here today and you're not so sure you really believe all this Christian stuff. You've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. You know what? God loves you. His love will never fail and it will never change. And God may be preparing a fish or a storm or a preacher. I don't know. God may be preparing something today to try to reach you, to say, please come home. Please come back. So God prepares this east wind. The sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." What a wave and roller coaster of emotions that Jonah has gone through, is it right? Exceedingly angry. I want to die. Oh, I'm so happy. Well, now I'm not so happy again. Oh, I just want to die. He's just this huge roller coaster of emotions. Not really a good place to be and not a good way to live. But see, he's a roller coaster of emotions here because God, he prepared, right? He prepared this plant, then he prepared the worm, and then he prepared the east wind because he's trying to teach Jonah some lessons. But see, Jonah doesn't want the lesson. Jonah wants the blessing. He wants the blessing of the comfortable chair. He wants the blessing of the shade in his life. He wants the blessing of life being easy, but he doesn't want the lesson that God's trying to teach him. He's like the teenager that wants the car keys but doesn't want the driving lesson from dad. It's like the teenager says, "Give me $20," but doesn't want to tell you how he's going to spend it. They want your blessings as the parent, but they don't want your involvement as a parent. And how many Christians want God's blessings, but we don't want to listen to God's lessons? But God is a God of love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness, and his love will never fail. He keeps pursuing. But how often do we reject the lessons from God, even though he's trying to teach something that's vital in our lives? Jonah had misplaced priorities. His priorities were his comfort, not lost souls. His priority was himself and not God and not others. And my friend, when life becomes about what you want instead of what God wants, when you live your life according to what you want instead of what God wants, your circumstances will begin to control your emotions. One day you're going to be excited and happy because things are going well, and the next minute you're going to want to die because the car broke down. One minute you're happy and excited because I got to work overtime and I got some extra money in my pocket, and then the next week you're going to be depressed because I spent it all on stupid stuff and now I can't pay the bills. If you live your life according to a me-centered life and according to what I want instead of what God wants, your circumstances will eventually wind up controlling you. We think that we are ceding control and that I can control everything and I can control everyone around me. But the truth is, it's your circumstances that control you. You think you control that person. But when they don't behave the way you want them to behave, they wind up controlling you, even if they're not even trying. Because, well, they didn't do what I told them to do. And so, you know what? I'm just going to get mad at them. And we think that this is the way we should live. God says, no, I got something so much better for you. I got some lessons for you on how to live this life. Because, my friend, your sin nature, which when life becomes about you and not about God, you are now feeding your sin nature. But your sin nature can never be truly satisfied. There is not enough stuff, there's not enough people, there's not enough things of this temporary world to satisfy your sinful nature. You will want and want and want and want and want, and you will never be filled. We'll be like toddlers that never get their way. When you live your life according to you, you're living your life according to the sin nature. You're living your life according to something that will never make you happy. Because it is God and God alone that will truly satisfy your life. Jonah's life, it was filled with these big mood swings because he had misplaced priorities. His mood swings and his emotions and all of this stuff was dependent upon the circumstances of his life. He did not have an anchor for his soul. I believe we'll see Jonah in heaven, but at this point in his life, he's kind of struggling. As a Christian, who is your anchor? Are you dependent upon the things of this world to make you happy? Or are you anchored in God's love for you and of Jesus Christ and His death on the cross for you? Because when you are anchored in the love of God, and you are anchored in following and serving Jesus Christ, and you are anchored in being involved in the kingdom work, you will find that even when circumstances are not what you wanted, you can live a life of love, joy, and peace. It is possible when you are anchored to the one who gives you life, your Heavenly Father. Well, did Jonah learn his lesson? I don't know. Maybe he did. But you see, Jonah's priorities was my comfort. And because he wanted his comfort, he really didn't want to have to deal with those people. How many Christians are more worried about their comfort than sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with their neighbor? How many of us are more worried about being comfortable than we are about presenting the gospel to a lost and dying world like the Ninevites? How many times have we gotten comfortable and said, I'm prioritizing my comfort over the mission that God has given all of us Christians? How many times have I prioritized what I want to do on Sunday morning instead of what I know God wants me to do on Sunday morning? When we misplace our priorities, we are giving control of our life to the circumstances of this temporary world that is filled with evil. And we're going to become these giant mood swings. As Rob comes to prepare, I want to close with this psalm. God has laid this psalm on my heart several times the last few weeks. But Psalm chapter 1 says this. Oops, I'm sorry. Keep on coming, Rob. I almost forgot something. The final lesson. God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Now notice, the first time God asked the question, he wouldn't answer. This time he gives an answer, and it's kind of an okay answer. He says, it's right for me to be angry, even to death. Now, I get it. If you're comfortable and then all of a sudden you're hot and sweaty in the desert, you can be upset. But to the point of death, that doesn't make much sense, does it? He thought he had a good answer for God, but God responded to this. The Lord said, you have had pity on the plant which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? And I'm like, where's chapter 5? Hey, did somebody lose a page? That's the end of the story. The end of the story is asking about cattle. And we're left to wonder. We're left to be continued. But see, the lesson God was trying to teach Jonah was that you're more concerned about your comfort. You know what I'm more concerned about? I'm concerned about eternal souls. I'm concerned about these 120,000 people that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm concerned about people that don't know me because I love them and I want them to know me. Oh, we live with misplaced priorities. And when we live with misplaced priorities, our lives get stirred up. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed. That word blessed, we say it means happy, and happy is sort of the word, but it's not deep enough really. A person who lives in this place of happiness and joy and contentment that really can't be explained, that's what it's really talking about there. That kind of person, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, they don't live a worldly life, nor stands in the path with sinners, they're not hanging out making their best friends sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, they don't live in this angry place. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. The blessed man delights himself in God and in the things of God. He meditates on it day and night. It's a part of who he is constantly. Whether he's at work or at home or at play, that he's permeated with the love of God and the Word of God. And the person that's permeated with the love and the Word of God is like this. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That when you delight yourself in the things of God and you make God the priority of your life, you will be so rooted, so grounded, so planted in the things of God that you can't be shaken, and that you're going to produce fruit at the proper time, and that you will prosper. That's what happens to the person who makes God their priority. The person that doesn't make God their priority, the ungodly, they're not so. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The ungodly are like the chaff, right, that the wind drives away. You get this picture. In the fall of the year, and you got leaves all over your driveway, and you got your leaf blower, and you take your leaf blower, and you start blowing the leaves, and where do they go? Who knows? And people, if you are not anchored to Jesus Christ, you know what circumstances do to your life? They blow you all over the place, do they not? And one minute you're over here and angry, and the next minute you're so excited and happy, but life has got a hold of you and it's just shaking you, and you're like the chaff that the wind drives away. But a person who is anchored in their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let the wind blow. I'm going to stand secure. And in order to develop these right priorities, four quick things, and we don't have time to go through them, but you need to have a right view of God and who He is. When you develop a right view of God through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and serving alongside other Christians, you understand the goodness of God, which also gives you a right view of man. We are all wicked sinners in need of a Savior. No one's getting into heaven on their own merit. No one goes to heaven because they're a good person, because you are not good enough. I don't care how good you are. We are all wicked sinners who need to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and follow Him. You have to have a right view of truth. There is objective truth, and all truth comes from God. The world tells us there's no objective truth, but there is. And of course, a right view of eternity. Too many Christians live their life as if this is the only life. This life is simply getting us ready for the next life. We must learn to live this life in light of eternity. My friend, where are your priorities today? Are your priorities on yourself and your own comfort? Or are they on God and His mission, His plan for you? In just a moment, we're going to do invitations just slightly different. I'm going to have Rob sing the first verse in the chorus of Heart of Worship. And while he's singing that, I'm going to ask you to bow your head and just sit quietly. It's just you and God. It's nobody else, just you and God. And go back, Thomas. You jumped ahead of me there. I want you to pray this prayer. While he plays and sings that verse in chorus, God, would you reveal to me any misplaced priorities I might have? And then after he sings the verse in chorus, we'll all stand. If you need to come now, you can come now. If you need to come with heads bowed, you can come. But then as we stand, you're all welcome to come and pray here, pray at our prayer board. But you and God, for the next few moments, have a conversation about your priorities. Father in heaven, bless the rest of our time together. In Christ's name I pray, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Hi, and thank you for watching. I trust that the sermon blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you to take your next step of faith. Please click the like and share button on our YouTube page. And if you're in the area, come visit us. Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. We would love to see you. I believe you will find us to be a warm and welcoming people. We just want to love God and love people. And check out our website, summitvillechurch.org. That's summitvillechurch.org. Over there, you can learn more about us. You can check out past sermons. You can also check out future events and things that we have coming up. And we also have a give button. And would you pray about giving to our ministry so we can continue to expand and grow so we can reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Summitville First Baptist Church exists to share the love of Jesus, to bring new life and hope to broken and hurting people. God bless you and have a great day.